Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Podcast Network Asia.
Project Loving Myself Podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics.
From one chapter to the next, you know, it's not always been smooth sailing. I've stumbled a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes, but each time I learn, each time I fall, I really rise back up again. I've never been one to give up. You know, so I always say this, I'm not in it for the sprint, I'm here for the marathon.
You're listening to Project Loving Myself Podcast, a well-being podcast that shares stories of self-love, mental fortitude, and self-discovery. Hosted by life designer and well-being coach, Sanaya Gurnamal.
Hi, I'm Sanaya Gurnamal, and this is the Project Loving Myself Podcast. Join me each week as we navigate through aha moments, new ideas, and flashes of insight from candid conversations that inspire you to get started on your own project of loving yourself. Because the most important relationship you will ever have is the relationship that you have with yourself. You matter.
This is Project Loving Myself.
Hello, everyone. This is Sanaya with you on the Project Loving Myself podcast. So what are you doing for yourself this week? I like to focus on learning at least one new thing every week. That's my commitment to myself. So I look for webinars or information that'll help me do something even just a little bit better. It might be focusing on improving my skincare routine. It might be a way of organizing my tasks to make life a little bit easier. Like last week, I tried a really cool new thing that I learned about called calendar blocking. And I think it's really helping me get things done a lot quicker while helping me get a better grip on how much time everything takes me. So that's what I've been up to. How about you? What's been going on? So today we have a guest that is truly an iconic 21st century man. Style, grace, and charisma mixed together with a little bit of an edge. He has a personality that catches your attention, but behind that, there's definitely something deeper going on that I would love to explore on this episode. I want to know what makes him tick, what moves him, what inspires him, what makes Tim Yap who he is. He is usually the one interviewing others, especially celebrities, but I'm curious about how he has become so successful in all of his endeavors. What is his personal vision? He has definitely been busy, from editing lifestyle stories, running a club, being a TV, radio, event host. He's also done newspaper, columnist, creative director, and that is just barely the tip of the iceberg. As an eventologist, he brings people together through events and activities. And you know, to me, that is his gift, to connect people, perhaps to inspire them. A recent cover story in Tatler, Philippines, called him and his partner the emblem of today's modern couple, showing us what it means to celebrate love and inclusivity in the 21st century. So I can't wait to find out a little bit more about that too. So let's get started. Welcome to the Project Loving Myself podcast, Tim.
Hello, Sanaya. Thank you so much for having me over. And I love what you guys did the whole weekend of the self-love and meditation and yoga, that festival that you guys did online. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you heard about that. So we must have been doing something good with the marketing.
Yeah, keep it up.
Thank you. So, Tim, when I look at your social media, okay, and I scroll through a lot of the things that you write about, I find you really witty, and there's a lot of these great one-liners. So even if you're doing a post about a product, you make it really interesting with your great one-liners. They definitely put a smile on my face. Does this come out of you like a superpower, or is this something you think about and work on before you post?
I'd like to think that the stuff that I do, it's always been organic. So nothing too thought out, nothing too curated. Of course, there are those grid planning for Instagram, but I try not to think about it too much. Of course, when you look at the aesthetics of a picture, you always have to, you know, strengthen some colors and, you know, trim a little bit of the fat that I have or whatever. But more often, it's really coming from the moment, my mood of the moment, what I am seeing currently and what inspires me, you know. And I think our social media is a representation of how we feel inside. So if we have a lot of, I think, like joy or whatever you're feeling, you sort of spread it. You sort of share it with the people who are following you.
Right. I agree, because I definitely am smiling all the time when I'm seeing your posts. So that's definitely spilling over from you. Is this the way you live your life, Tim? Is it a very much like go with the flow, don't overthink, you know, be yourself? Is that who you really are?
You know, I am, when I was much younger, I was always planning my life. I was always thinking, where do I go next? What is my next, what are my next goals? You know, dreams, ambitions, I would write it all down. And then now the pandemic hit, and so you realize that you have to, one of my biggest learnings is you have to live it one day at a time. You know, so you have to make sure that today, within today, you make the most out of today. And that in itself is it's a victory, you know. So, but also, I think when I look at my name and I trace it back to my initials, it's T-Y. It's thank you, right? So I realize that I'm here to be grateful. You know, the attitude is indeed gratitude. Every day I thank God, the universe, the people who I'm around, my pets. I thank them for being there with me and myself also. Every day that I wake up breathing, no matter if you have a headache from the night before or anything else, that I wake up thankful.
I love that. You know, I think gratitude is one of the highest vibrations. And when we are in this energy of gratitude, life is just really smooth. But Tim, was there any kind of incident in your life that really taught you this lesson about living each day as it comes? Like, how did you go from this like planner type of person to someone who's very much a lot more fluid and flexible with your life?
I think, when I was a kid, I remember I came home from school and my mother was there in front of our house, and our house was burning. So she closed, she put her hand on top of my eyes to cover what was happening. She said, "Oh, we're just changing homes, you know, we're going to go somewhere else." And then so we moved to a small, small place, all seven of us siblings, and we were there all together. And like my aunts were crying to my mom and saying, "Oh, you know, I pity you guys. Why did this thing happen?" And I looked around and I saw my siblings and my mother and our family was all there, and we were okay. And I said, "Oh, we're happy, and so there's nothing to be worried about." So you know, from then on, I realized from when I was starting out that I knew what was important. Of course, I was goal-driven and ambitious. But for me, if you have your innermost sanctum of self intact, and you know that you have love and you are surrounded by love, then everything will be all right.
Wow, Tim. First of all, your mom sounds like an incredible person, because what she did was she protected you and she reframed something that could have been like a devastating, catastrophic event for a child, and she turned it into, it's just a change. You know, we're just going to move.
Yes, I've been surrounded by those kinds of people. You know, I remember the movie Life is Beautiful with Benigni, the Benigni actor and director, right? That he was telling his kid that, "No, we're not at war, we're just playing." And all those things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about framing your mind. And so even I remember when I was a kid again, I remember my yaya telling me that my grandfather was just sleeping, but in fact it was his wake, you know. So even My thoughts on death aren't so, I'm not afraid of it, you know, there's no fear. It's more an embracing that it is going to be a next chapter. So, you know, I think all my life I've been blessed to be surrounded by people who knew how to frame things in such a way that my mind became more open and fear was shut out and it was always filled with love and good things.
I love that, Tim. Honestly, I think you're very lucky to be influenced by those kind of people around you who really, I think, made it smoother, you know, a smoother path. But do you think that it prepared you well for life? Like some people might say, though I'm not I wouldn't say that, but a lot of people might say that maybe it didn't teach you the reality of life or you never really had to face anything head on and maybe it didn't prepare you. What are your thoughts on that?
I think reality is also relative, you know, depends on how you see it. And I feel that my life is a series of, there have been, you know, you fail and then you win and then you take it from one episode to the next, from one chapter to the next, you know. It's not always been smooth sailing. I've had a lot, I've stumbled a lot, I've made a lot of mistakes, but each time I learn, each time I fall, I really rise back up again. I've never been one to give up, you know. So I always say this, I'm not in it for the sprint, I'm here for the marathon. Incidentally, today is the 1 year anniversary of my being in the Berlin Marathon and finishing the marathon. And that's something for me that I never thought I would do. You know, I've been running, you know, for fitness, but I never thought I would run a marathon until I did. And it was such an exercise in mind, more than just body, but you're really disciplining and framing your mind to finish the 42 kilometers.
Why did you do it, Tim? Like, what is it that got you to commit to running the marathon? Because that's no small feat.
Yeah, Sarah Black had just come back from New York and told me that, Tim, this experience would be perfect for you. You know, all the thrills, you know, all the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual work that you will do within this race, it's something that I would truly enjoy. And so I applied for the New York Marathon that year, but I didn't get in. And I was so heartbroken and said, okay, I'm not going to run a marathon anymore. Until the chance for Berlin came, and I realized that instead of just going through the lottery, I raised funds for Smile Train. I got the top fundraiser award. And then after that, when I was running, it was not just for me, but for we. I was doing it for the kids of Smile Train, for kids with cleft palate surgeries. It's very close to my heart because I have two sisters who has kids who had to undergo cleft surgery. And I have a sister, an elder sister, who passed. She was a year and a half years old, and I wasn't even born yet. And so I also dedicated to her. Yeah.
Amazing. I think that when we do things for more than ourselves, it just brings a lot more meaning and inspiration to actually do something like that. And it reminds me, actually, when I was in my 20s, Tim, I decided to go and jump out of an airplane. And I'm not really a daredevil risk, that much of a risk taker type of person. It's something I was really afraid of, you know, to go skydiving. But I always say that jumping out that airplane is what made me truly fearless, because once I did that, there was nothing to be afraid of. So what was the lesson for you from the marathon? What was that big win that you experienced, which I'm sure, you know, would have come out of it?
You know, it's a series of lessons while you're going through it. There was a point that I was just running and saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. It was like a mantra that became like, my chant. It became meditative for me, actually. Like I was flying while running. So I realized also that I couldn't do it on my own. It really took everything, like the universe and God helping me, because I was undertrained for it. I was it was the Burn months were extremely busy. So I was really doing a lot of events, hostings, a lot of parties, and I couldn't have the parties that we organized also as the Aparazzi event. So it was so hard to train. And then I got sick, I got blisters. It's like, you know, God, do you not want to give this to me? You know, so it's all part of the experience. Like you felt, I felt that it wasn't going to be given to me, or I wasn't going to be able to achieve it. And then in my mind, like, this is going to be the first thing that I've set my mind to do that I'm not going to be able to do. But through it all, against all odds, I pushed through and I pulled through, and it happened. And I had a great high. And the lessons is never to give up. As simple as never to give up. Go through the process. Enjoy it. Savor it. It gave me so many highs and lows. Low lows. And then so after the race, it gave me such a high because I went through it all.
Do you think it's a good practice, Tim, for people to really get out of their comfort zone and to push themselves, you know, maybe to beyond the limit, or to challenge themselves, their mind, about what they can or perhaps what they thought they couldn't do? Do you think it's something that's really worthwhile?
I think that's why I did it, because I wanted to go outside my comfort zone. Of course, we're human and we like our creature comforts. We like things being handed to us, and all these other things, all the trappings of life and lifestyle. But I would always go to my mentor, a friend of mine, and he would tell me, you know, Tim, I told him, like, what do I do? What does one do when the dreams that you've set out for yourself when you were younger have been fulfilled? He goes, Tim, you gotta dream new dreams. And you only get to dream new dreams when you put yourself outside your comfort zone. In your comfort zone, all you'll see is like, you know, oh, the cushion, oh, the nice drink, the nice treatment, massage and all that. But that will make you relax and fine, okay. But I think you need to really put yourself to go into space of nothingness and embrace that so you can fill it up again. It's like having a new house with nothing on the walls. Then it's time for you to redecorate and fill up the walls with memories, with artwork, with design, so you can refill yourself. So I always say this to my friends, you know, you are not a half empty or half full glass. You are a pitcher. So when you are a pitcher, you need to refill. So when you can refill, then you need to overflow. So you need to refill, so you overflow, so you can give more water to different glasses. There.
Wow, that is such a beautiful metaphor. It's amazing. So one thing I would say has really pushed a lot of us out of our comfort zone, Tim, is the quarantine, right? This pandemic has really, you know, forced us all to do things we never thought. You know, we're all, I think, having our own experiences with it. So how has it been for you? What has been your experience? And what have you learned about yourself or about life since these past couple of months?
Wow, you know, that's a very loaded question, because we're talking about like six plus full months of doing everything, doing nothing, embracing everything, embracing nothing, right. You know, roller coaster, you know, they call it the corona coaster of emotions, from sorrow to joy to defeat to everything. You know, one day I would be binging on K-drama, well, not one day, 1 week, I'd be binging on a Netflix K-drama, or, you know, one day I found myself, you know, kneeling down in my room and watching the mass that the Pope did in an empty St. Peter's Square and crying. And then one day, the beginning of the pandemic, me and Javi, my husband, we went up our balconies and started clapping and encouraged all our neighbors to do the same, and started the Frontliners PH hashtag on Twitter and Instagram. Another day, we're checking our food supplies because I partnered up with Bello and Cloud Eats to distribute 1,000 meals to 20 hospitals daily for the initial part of the pandemic. And then to fast forward to putting up Walk With Yap, our online food business, and doing online events at the same time and hosting online events, webinars. So it's really a corona coaster. I just savor every moment of it. Every time, every day that I wake up, I get to appreciate my time with my 12 or so pets, from dog, cats, turtle, tortoise, and now bird. It's like a little Noah's Ark here at home. And I still haven't read a good book. I still haven't written down. I still have yet to write down new goals for the next few years. So I'm in this little cocooning phase that I want to be able to incubate new things that I want to. I think it's a perfect time, these burn months, before we usher in 2021, because already people are counting down to Christmas, right? So now let's count up 2021. So it's a perfect time that we have this peace and quiet that we can really think and go inside and write down the things that we want, the goals, irregardless of pandemic, irregardless of negativity, not thinking of people that you all know you can't do that. Dream impossible things. If it's what you want, then go after it. So now is that's the time for me now.
So you've really been using that time well, it sounds like, and you've definitely been very, very busy. I think that what I've seen, the people who have been very busy, I think that's helped them cope with pandemic really well. Yeah. People who have found ways to do something about, people who don't have access to food or to healthcare or so on. I think that when we are directed towards doing something for other people or even for ourselves, like sometimes it's about self-improvement or meditation or going inward or cocooning, as you said, I think these are some of the best ways to cope with uncertain times. But do you see, Tim, that there's going to be a shift, or do you see yourself going in different directions for 2021? Like, what are your thoughts about the future at this point?
Of course, after these few months, I've already had this pandemic productivity checked, But then come 2021, I want to focus on certain ventures that I've set out, which I'm about to launch. I want to, again, take things one at a time. It's something that is really exciting, but I'll still announce it next time.
Okay.
But something's in the works. Something exciting is in the works. But of course, the Aparazzi events is still, is still happening. We also just did a bespoke travel thing for Amanpulo. And so we've been going out of our way to, during GCQ, we would really spend weekends close to nature. It's like my way of communing with nature, to be able to sort of meditate and be in touch with myself more. I find that easier to do when you're around nature, water, or lots of trees.
Right. That's why I think many of us need to get away from the city just to find that ability to connect with nature around us.
Or meditation, so you don't even have to be physically in that state, right? But if you know how to meditate and recreate the feeling of being surrounded by nature, then you can do it anywhere.
I agree. So how long have you been meditating for? And tell me a little bit more about your meditation practice or your ritual.
I started meditating with Sarah Black, but it's an on and off. I'm like a prodigal son of meditation. So like I sort of have it, but I don't. Because I need to be to do it more often, and also because before in my in our rooftop, I set it aside to be like a meditation area. But then when I would try to meditate, like I feel like I'm attracting like spirits or something. So like, I feel there are elements near me, so I get I sort of stop because I go, okay, don't go near me, guys, something like that. So I need to study it more. I need to get deeper into my meditation practice.
You know, Tim, I'm a healer and I'm a well-being coach. So a lot of people come to me with that kind of similar situation where they feel like they're attracting energies or like elementals, you know, things in nature. And it's definitely a cultural belief in the Philippines, right? Filipinos are very open to this idea that there are energies and things around, right? And sometimes you just need to tweak a little bit of your belief systems and work with the belief systems of boundaries, and you will actually feel more safer and comfortable to do something like meditation. So I think you need to come see me for a one-on-one session and we'll get that sorted out for you.
Okay, done, yes.
So tell me, Tim, a little bit about your philosophy or view of spirituality, religion. Like, what is, I've heard you drop the word universe, God. So definitely, I'm sure you have some clear ideas of what you believe in and your philosophy. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
My view on God, the universe, the spirituality is, it's, we belong to this universe where all of us are. Like my God is, I talk, is the God from within. And, you know, I pray to God and I pray to the God within me, you know. So it's like, how would I explain it? It's something that is, you get what I'm trying to say, right?
I do. I think one of the most difficult things is to explain our relationship with God. I do hear from you that, you know, you believe in connecting with nature. You're very connected to animals. You know, you're obviously very aware of what's going on around you. And I think you also feel very connected to the idea of the universe. It feels like you have a very spiritual philosophy on life. That's kind of what I'm getting from you. That's why I was asking you that question. I feel like you feel like you're in touch with things, even though maybe you don't have a meditation practice yet, or you don't have any particular, you know, technique that you do, but there is the sense of oneness with the universe. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I like it. But it's also, universe is about one word, right? So it's, I believe that we are all connected one way or another. You know, everything, every living thing is connected. So, you know, it's quite basic to respect all living things, to just, you know, spread good, and good goes back, you know. So it's this oneness of the universe.
Right.
That, that's what my spirituality is all about.
Yeah. And when you talked about, you know, how things come around, I mean, really, you're talking about karma, right? Like the good energy you put out comes back to you somehow. And I think that's really important as well.
And I'm not, you know, I would go to a Bible study and then I would, you know, sit down and discuss things with my friends who are into yoga and meditation, and they're living that lifestyle. And you connect with all, you know, so I'm not a religion snob or like, oh no, this is the only way. Because, you know, all different ways have a different effect and has a different way to make you better.
I agree. And I love how you put that. I think that was a really open way of I would say, embracing everything as part of one. Now, Tim, I'm going to ask you about your personality and your stage presence, because I've seen you at events and you're very charismatic. You can really command an audience and hold the stage. Like, what would you call that? Is that confidence? Is that, you know, is that your special thing about you? What is it that allows you to do that?
I think when I was a kid, again, I was in the theater, you know, so one role to the next, and I was doing shows on stage, backstage. I was doing, you know, selling the shows, doing marketing, 360 degree around the theater. So that's been my comfort zone. I love being in the theater. Even as an audience member, I love to appreciate the shows, what goes on behind the making a show. So I think when I stepped into the events and party scene, it became my stage, you know. So at that, I used it as my stage to do my theatrics, you know. So I come from a place of joy, right? So when you come from a place of joy, when you enter and when you say hello to people, you're already happy and sharing that joy. So I guess joy is attractive. you know, as well as other things that other people are attracted to sorrow, or maybe because in an event setting, it's celebratory. So, you know, the birds of the same feather flock together. So you attract more of joyful people as well.
You know, I think that was something really interesting you said, that the nature of events is celebratory and you go in with the feeling of joy. So it's like these two things, these energies attract each other, like they work well together. So the lesson I'm getting from that really is that if you want to, you know, be in a certain field or an arena, or you want to do something, you should have the right emotion that corresponds with that, you know, and that's where you're going to be really successful in that.
Even before I host an actual event, you know, backstage, I will close my eyes and then really imagine light coming towards different parts of my body. And when I open my eyes, I am that light, you know. So it's like a little exercise that I've been doing since time immemorial that was taught to me by a life mentor. So, you know, so it's a subtle meditation also, I think.
It is.
Every time before I go on stage, that's my, even if I'm in a club or at a party, before I even get my script or go on stage, I, you know, so it's like you bring your own spotlight even before, even if there's no light. So you just grab your mic and, you know, and host and shine.
It's amazing, you know, because you've been actually doing meditation all this while, because that is a meditation technique. I actually do train students and people to do that, which is to imagine the light coming in. And then you're just kind of, you are the light, you're shining the light. And they say, you know, there's a quote or a saying I like, which is like, be your own sunshine. You know, when skies are gray, you be your own sunshine. And, you know, you can conquer anything. So, wow.
And even when skies are gray, I like it too, you know. So, you know, I find the joy in it as well.
Amazing. Amazing. So what would you say to someone who is trying to work on their own confidence, on their own charisma? Like definitely, you know, the exercise of doing the light or coming with joy. But being someone who's been in this industry for so long, you know, you've done so many things and you definitely have the confidence and the belief to get things done. What would you say to someone who wants to cultivate that same kind of, you know, energy or wants to be like that? What would you say to them?
I would tell them to live their lives. That's the most important thing to do. Confidence you will gain, but you need to have a really full inner life. So it's what you can share to others when you are talking, when you're in front of them. It's the stories that are inside of you, the made up of memories, experiences, and all that. Again, I remember as a kid, in my first theater workshop, you know, when we were kids, everybody took acting, music, or any of those workshops, right? So when they asked me to go on stage, and they said, say your name and say something about, tell us something about yourself. And I went on stage and said, my name is Timothy Yap. And then I froze. And I couldn't say anything. And I looked at everybody. It was like super, the most embarrassing moment of my life. But then I learned from there. I went downstairs after I went from the stage. Then I went to the bookstore and I looked for books, looked for ways on how I can improve, you know, to make friends, to be happy, you know, I looked for all these books. And I told myself, never will I go on stage and not be able to say something about myself. And then I really lived my life so that when I go on stage, I can say so many things, so much more, and share.
It's amazing because, you know, that's what happens to a lot of people. Their greatest passion or their success story comes from a negative experience. And the goal is to kind of conquer that or to, you know, do it better, to improve. And I think that's kind of the way we learn, right? That's how we improve ourselves. We see what we're not doing well. And that becomes a way of exploring ourselves, understanding ourselves, and perhaps finding our life purpose.
Yep.
So what would you say, Tim, is your life purpose? Like, what do you feel you are here on earth to do?
I feel I'm here to spread joy. I know that I am here to connect people via experiences. You know, so it has been from every part of my life and career, it's all been directed towards that, whether it be my role in media, my role in events. It's always been to connect people, to connect thoughts, to be a door for people to open their minds more and experience things. Part of this role is to let people enjoy the journey that we are all on, you know. So, because I said earlier that we are all interconnected. So right. I'm just part of the connection, you know.
You're part of the same journey that we are all on.
Now, before we get to the next question, we're going to be right back after this short break.
Hi, guys. Lazada's biggest one-day sale is coming soon. Can't wait to enjoy deals at such low prices and with free shipping vouchers too. So what are you waiting for? Add to cart now and click on my link, tinyurl.com/PLMXLazada1111 to check out on November 11th. You can also use voucher code, all caps, PNA111LAZ. And you can enjoy pesos 111 off your first Lazada purchase with minimum spend of 500 pesos. This is exclusive for new Lazada customers only. Purchase via the Lazada app, and this is valid on November 11th. #Lazada1111, #Lazada biggest one day sale, #LazadaPH. See you there. Now, Tim, there was a Tatler article this August that made quite a splash. I'm going to quote. Okay, I'm going to read from the article. It said, Tim Yap and Javi Martinez are an emblem of today's modern couple, one that remains optimistic about what it means to live and love in the 21st century. So what are your thoughts on that? Tell me about, you know, your viewpoint on relationships. Tell me about love.
You know, I'm so, it's kind of funny when you say it's an emblem of, I'm so humbled and honored that the Tatler called us that, but really become like a representative of LGBT. For me, love is love, you know, so it's that simple and that complex, you know, so you should be free to choose who you want to love, and loving and relationships, it's a commitment. It's, well, marriage is a commitment, but love is love. I have been lucky. I've been blessed to have a really good life partner in Javi, and it's been one thing that in my life that has constantly made me better. I think we are brought to the earth to meet people who can make us better, and love and relationships, it's that something that makes you better.
Right. Sometimes, though, that the people closest to us are the ones making us better, but sometimes they also force us to look at things that we may not be willing to look at initially. So has that process been easy, or has it been, I mean, tell me about that process in becoming better and growing together in this relationship. What has it been like?
Me and Javi were yin and yang, totally opposite in terms of process, in terms of way of doing things. But I think it's a good balance, and it makes me appreciate the other side. So there, so it's like, you know, one is water, one is fire. Then you realize that me being fire, that I like water because it calms me also, you know, right. So... You it's a constant learning, you know. There's times when you want your own space, or sometimes you want to kill each other. That's part of any relationship. And at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, through all the frustration, through all the little things that irritate you and everything, go, what am I learning from this situation? And how are we becoming better? How am I becoming better? You know, and you let go of the need to be right, you know, vanity, ego, all these things you have to forego sometimes, you know, because for you to be able to have a good relationship, you need to give and take. It's that's how relationships go.
You know, you mentioned that you ask yourself, what am I learning from this? Or, you know, what is this doing for me? And I think those two questions are some of the most important questions to ask yourself whenever you're faced with any challenge, because I believe that every challenge is here to teach us something. And just asking that question brings out an understanding or an awareness that you may have missed completely, because the ego is kind of, you know, trying to find its place in that situation. So is this something you've always practiced? Is it something that you learned more recently in your life? Where did you get this kind of ability to question and try to see the bigger picture?
First, you need to be humble to yourself, you know, because you know that you're not, you don't know everything. I always look at it from the eyes of a child. So it's like you're starting out. It's like you're starting up a new business, a new family, you know. So it's only by being humble where you can learn more. You know, the L in learn is lessons, and then you earn. Then you become better. You become a better husband, you become a better son, you become a better brother, you know, by learning from each other. So you have to enter any relationship being like, you know, like an empty vessel, you know, ready to be filled up there. So that's how I view it.
I think I really appreciate that you said that. I think it's a very good lesson for people. A lot of people get into relationships thinking they need to change the other person, or they feel like the need to protect who they are. But I think when we go in with that open mind and we go in saying, well, I'm here to learn, and I'm here to learn with my partner, you know, we're in it together. But I think that takes sometimes maturity, and it takes, you know, practice of doing that to get to that point. So what was it like for you that really made this relationship with Javi different from relationships you've been in the past? Like, how did you know that this was the one that was going to be long-term for you? And, you know, in addition to that question, Tim, do you believe in the idea of soulmates or soul connections? What are your thoughts?
I think it was timing, because soulmate doesn't necessarily have to be your spouse. It can be your sister. It can be your best friend, right? It's somebody, a twin soul that you travel with throughout. I think I am very prayerful. I would always pray for a sign. Certain things in my life when I wouldn't have the answer, I would pray for a sign. So should I? Give me a sign. Give me a sign whether this is the one. So I, for Javi at least, I prayed for two signs, you know. I said, okay, I want, within today, I want to see a red rose, and I want to hear a Disney tune, you know, because Javi loves Disney. So that day, it just so happened to be the Christmas party of our the palace group. And so so I said, okay, because I was the judge for the production number contest. So I go, okay, what time is it gonna finish? Because I have a dinner, I have to go to a dinner. Wait, this one more performance. And then the performance started, the curtains opened, said Walt Disney presents. And then there's the girl with the red rose. Once upon a time, in a far off kingdom there lived. It was Beauty and the Beast. But the red rose was being directed at me. And then the full Beauty and the Beast production number. So it wasn't a Disney tune, but a Disney suite. You know, all given to me that day, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really believe in signs. And is this something that you constantly look for in your life, as signs to tell you where you're going?
Of course, sometimes you doubt. You know, there will always be doubts. But I feel that you know, I feel that my angels are around me all the time. I get it in dreams. I get certain answers when I sleep. There are answers that come to my mind about things that I couldn't have figured out. Somebody's whispering to me, you know, like I feel that my angels are actively guarding me. So I rely on that part of my instinct and intuition. Yeah. So yeah, those are I get my signs from them.
Amazing. So Tell me, Tim, what are your thoughts about concepts like gender equality? What are the things that you feel very passionate about in terms of advocacies? I know that, of course, inclusivity, and you do stand for the LGBTQ community, but what else are things that you feel very moved to make a statement about?
Well, I feel about gender equality, I feel that everybody should have an equal chance at everything. You know, it's like when we were kids, we were always taught that all men are born equal. You know, we are all given the right playground to be able to partake in life, that we can have the same opportunities as our brother or our sister. You know, so I apply that basic statement to our world now, that it's what it should be. You know, you can't not get a job because you're a trans man or a trans woman, you know. So just because their choices have been different doesn't mean their opportunities should be.
I agree with that. And I do feel that that basic human right of equality is not something we have been able to see and achieve in our world. So it's amazing to have people who are outspoken about that and who really make that statement. And I've had a lot of people actually on the podcast who are really big advocates of that. So I'm glad to hear that from you as well.
I know, like BJ Pascual, you know, I would listen to my friends who are, you know, super advocates. And I know I have a lot to learn, you know. Sometimes I have so many things that I still don't know. So, you know, it's good that we get to talk about it in these podcasts, in other live shows, because we all have so much to learn. We are so, I don't want to say so behind, but some our lawmakers are doing all that they can, but it's still, we're still not there, you know?
Right, I agree. And you know, the first guest on my podcast, Tim, was BJ Pascual. And that, I had Raho as well. And I can see, you know, these are your friends and you do have that similar energy. And I like what I like about, you know, connecting with you, Raho, BJ, and some of the other people I've connected with on the show is a lot of you are not necessarily like, this is not your life purpose, you know, like maybe healing or spirituality or, you know, it's not who you are. Like it's not the first thing we think of when we look at you, but somewhere there is this sense of connection, you know, with the universe. There is a practice of meditation happening. There is the understanding of angels and so on. And I believe that when people really start to live their life more in tune with themselves and the universe, then success is going to follow. Relationships are going to follow. Abundance will follow. And you have the ability to think of people outside of you. You know, you have the ability to make a difference and to add value to the world, which is what I appreciate about people like you. And that's why I actually look for individuals like you to have on the show so that I can kind of pick your brain and see how you're getting this done, how you're doing it. And, you know, I'm very grateful to be able to have your time.
But also because, thank you for that. But also, you know, creatives are dreamers, you know, they realize early on in their lives that, you know, what they set out for themselves in their lives, it happens, but it has to start first with you, you know. So you put when you put the I am into it, right, and you write down your goals or you see it so clearly that it happens, then you connect to other people and you learn, and that's the best way to grow is you meet people because you learn from everyone and everything can be a source of inspiration.
Right. And you know, you made a really good point also, Tim, about creatives, because people who are creative, they are using their right brain. You know, they're using the brain that's more connected to the subconscious. I mean, when you are creative, you're tapping into the subconscious, you're dreamers, you're visionaries. You know, it's all about using that part of you that is so connected and in tune. So I think, you know, a lot of people are using their left brain, you know, they're logical and analytical and practical. But I think there's a lot of merit, as you pointed out, in exercising that creative side. And when you do, I think you see really the magic happen in your life. So yeah. I love that you said that. Now,
Tim, for magic, right? Because that word magic, luck, all these things, it's an invisible force that you have to sort of be ready for and invite into your life. And, and magic is a great thing to have.
Yeah. And magic is, it's basically another word for manifestation. And when you talk about, your visions and your goals and making this all happen, I mean, it's a manifestation. That's what it is.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing. Yeah. So, Tim, tell me about your thoughts on well-being. Have you ever had to deal with any challenges with mental well-being? What are your thoughts about that?
I've always been a very optimistic person, so I'm the kind of person who will see the silver lining in everything, but because of that, a lot of my friends, I am their go-to person whenever they feel sad or lonely, or whenever they feel down, they go to me or I go to them. So I am their source of positivity. So it was surprising for me when Javi said that he was going through something, some anxiety over the pandemic, because he's used to, and his comfort zone was in staging grand events and seeing big things happen. And now all we're doing are online events, which are still, because the brands would still have to communicate. And it's not like we ran out of jobs, we're steadily busy. So it was a surprise in my mind. Was it because I'm so positive that all of a sudden he became, that Javi encountered this thing that he was feeling? So we had to go through that together, because he said, I need you to be there for me, to be here for me as I go through this. So it wasn't easy for me, because here I am being the go-to person of everyone for positivity, and my partner is going through this. But luckily, he worked on it. I have to give it to Javi, to credit him for this, because he worked on it. He did meditation classes with Sarah Daly. He went, he did everything to get out of that rut. And he started eating healthy. He quit smoking. He took out sugar from his diet, threw out iced tea and all that. And I drank it one. I drank one now. Because he threw it to me. So when you are, I realize in terms of well-being, when you act on it, first you have to know. So you have to have self-awareness. And then when you know, you sort of make a treasure map of where you want to go. So if you are not feeling your best, how can I feel my best? Or should I just embrace my pain today and then work on it? So that's my first hand experience of well-being, aside from me being the go-to person of all my friends.
So what advice would you give, Tim, to a lot of people? Because, right now with the situation that's happening globally, everyone's struggling. A lot of people are struggling with it. And sometimes people are in the position of watching their loved ones go through that as well. What advice would you give people who want to help those people that they love who are dealing with these kind of challenges? What did you learn from your experience?
First, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to be okay, So whatever your current state is, embrace it and know where you want to go. Or, it's like embrace nothing, embrace everything. So it's a certain mindfulness of what you're feeling. And, there will be bad days and there will be good days. So, just it's part of the cycle. And so we just have to savor each chapter as we go through it. I can't say if you're feeling sad that it can be tomorrow, tomorrow might not be better. We don't know. But so if you're sad now, okay, that's all right. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with being sad or feeling a little blue, So it's not the end of the world, or is it? I don't know. Nobody knows. But let's just go with it.
Right. So what you're really saying is it's about acceptance. If you're okay, you accept that. And if you're not okay, you accept that too. Whatever it is, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And then just flow.
Flow. And then I guess also what we can see from what Javi did is he really took it as a complete mind-body energy project, you know? Like, as you said, he worked on his diet, he worked on exercise, he worked on meditation. So he was doing everything that he could do to put himself in a better state of mind. So yeah. I think that that's something that, you know, we can really remind ourselves and remind the people that we love that there's you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to approach it. You got to do something about it.
Totally. So,
thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being so candid about that. Now, Tim, tell me, what is your Project Loving Myself message or mantra, that kind of like self-love tip that you would share with our listeners?
Self-love tip is to be grateful first. You know, I always see people telling on social media, they say they have these what am I grateful for things, you know, like all these things. Self-love for me is kind of self-explanatory. You know, you need to really love yourself. How would I explain self-love? And what is my my tip is to just be good to yourself. I think growing up, we've encountered so many things, instances, people that would tell us otherwise, that you can't do this. And naysayers, negativity. I think it's always good to, you know, really, again, close your eyes and really rid yourself, heal yourself of these things. And just surround yourself with positive light and this can-do attitude. One of my most favorite words is impossible, right? Because I would put the space between the I am and the possible. From impossible, it's I'm possible. And actually, that's how it's that too, because I keep on saying that, you know, yeah, to him. So I like it because I've seen him, you know, become the best human being that he can be based on that tip. Yeah.
Amazing.
You are possible.
Everything is possible. Yeah. Tim, thank you. This has been a really insightful episode. You know, I really, I went into this episode with you and I said, I'm not sure I understand who Tim Yap is. I want to know like what's going on in there. And I can definitely say at the end of the show that I've really learned a lot about you. And I think I see and I understand how you've created so much success and how you were able to really shine your light and your joy onto people. So thank you so much for giving us a look at who you are and, you know, showing a little bit more of yourself to all the listeners of the Project Loving Myself podcast. Now, if you don't mind, Tim, sharing your socials, if you would like to leave our listeners with any message and, of course, how they can reach you, that would be really wonderful.
Yes. So you can reach me via my Instagram at @officialtimyap. I respond to you know, anything there. You know, if I see the message, I normally respond. I also have my public Facebook is at @IamTimYap, and everything else is official Tim Yap, from Twitter to Instagram, and YouTube is also Tim Yap. I have a YouTube that you know, when I do my shows, I stream it via YouTube live as well. There.
Yes. I actually saw your YouTube live. You did a bunch of videos during the quarantine, and they were really interesting. I really enjoyed them. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's part of my productivity thing. You know, I had to do these shows to have like a weekly marker or three times a week marker to have a semblance of going to the studio and recording and catching up with friends and, you know, talking about current events and what is relevant and all that. You know, it's like me doing a framework for what's happening.
Yeah. And it's a good like grounding. It's like, you know, whenever you do something that is what you're, or it has some semblance of your old life, it's like grounding, you know what I mean? Like, this is me, this is something I used to do. And I think that reminds us that we're not so disconnected from what life used to be like.
Exactly. And also in terms of like, say, TV production, like if I have to wait for a network to offer me a show, okay, now I'll do my own show. I'll just do it, you know, so I don't have to wait.
Amazing. You know, that's your life philosophy. I can do anything.
Yes, exactly. It's true.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you again, Tim. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Sanaya. And I hope to see you in person, you know, one of these days.
So that was really quite refreshing for me to talk to somebody that I wouldn't normally have associated with well-being or with, you know, meditation. But I think that's what I really learned from this episode. And that's what I wanted to share with all of you, that even if someone doesn't seem like, you know, they might be spiritual or they might be meditating or they might be doing all those traditional things that we associate with well-being, I think, you know, living your life the way Tim lives his life, you know, so much in communion with the universe, with the world around him, you know, being aware, connecting with nature, you know, his relationship with his partner, the kind of upbringing he had. I think all of this contributes to making him the force that he is today. I definitely think that life can teach us quite a bit. And if we pay attention, if we learn from our life experiences, you know, if we constantly ask that question, what am I learning from this? What am I getting out of this? You know, what is this supposed to teach me? Just like Tim, you know, and even the practice of sending light into himself before he goes on stage. I think this is the real understanding of well-being, of the universe, of living life in harmony and feeling really connected to the world around us. So I love that we got to know Tim on that deeper level and we got to see how he lives his life that has allowed him to create the kind of success that he has experienced and also what keeps him going. So let me know what you thought of this episode. Connect with me on the Project Loving Myself podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, do tag me at Sanaya Gurnamal on all social media channels. I would love to hear what you think. I would love to hear if you have any questions about our guests, about some of the concepts and topics that I've explored during these episodes. You know, I would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Project Loving Myself podcast, where you take the Project Loving Myself journey with me. I leave you now with our thought for the week. To love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. And that is a quote by Oscar Wilde. It's time for me to go now, but keep in mind that you are loved. This is Sanaya on the Project Loving Myself podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. Catch you soon. I love that podcasting is growing very quickly all over the world. There's a whole lot of voices out there, and as a podcaster, I need to know what's going on. The best way to do that is with data. So I use Podmetrics, your one-stop shop for all your podcast data needs. Podmetrics collects data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, and Facebook Live. And it shows you the real picture of how your show is doing. And when you know your show, you can grow your show. The best part is it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co. And don't forget to use my referral code, Project Loving Myself. That's one word with capital P, capital L, and capital M. Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.